Good afternoon, Al. This is Al Kleiss sitting in his most beautiful, serene, special house. And I'm Carrie Sheriff. I've been living in Mill Valley for close to 50 years now, so I've seen some changes, but not the ones that you have seen, Al. You've been a resident here for how long?
Well, ever since I was born here, 1931.
Mm-hmm.
And other than having traveled from places from time to time, I've lived in Mill Valley my entire life.
Well, what a gem you are. Where were you born?
In my parents' house on 34 Eugene Street here in Mill Valley.
And what was that like, that house? You lived there growing up, correct?
Well, my grandfather, if I could back up, moved to Mill Valley in 1895.
Mm-hmm.
And he built his house there at 501 Throckmorton. And he had a caretaker's house behind it for the barn, which he had horses that pulled his lumber around. And then when my parents got married, they moved into the caretaker's house. And so that's the house that he remodeled, added on to, and where I grew up.
And that's on Eugene.
Yes.
You had mentioned a home that had a big ballroom. Whose home was
that's
that?
That's the house.
That was yours?
Yeah, that was my father's house.
Oh, your father's house.
Yes, my father and mother's house.
It was so unique to see such a wonderful room. They must have had a lot of joy in that house with music and dancing.
Yes. It had a big ballroom, and we had big parties there, dancing and so forth, and Christmas parties, and a big fireplace, and a big window with a view of Mount Tamalpais. It was really a very unique room.
The good old days of Mill Valley.
Yes.
So you were born 1931.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Kleiss name is quite prominent in building and design in Mill Valley. And can you briefly say where you are on the genealogical?
Okay, well, I am the grandson of my grandfather. And so he's moved here, like I said, in 1895 with my grandmother. And then my father was born in 1896. And so then I have two older brothers, born in 1922 and 24, and a sister who is a year and a half older than I, who was born in 1929.
So you have a big family of your own here that lived in that home.
Yes.
Now, how do you fit in? You're the grandson of Harvey, and what's the middle name?
Harvey
there?
Asbury Kleiss.
Asbury, yes. Kleiss.
Asbury.
And just briefly, where did he come from? How did he end up in
Mill
Valley?
He came from Tennessee and was from a family of builders there. Came to San Francisco to study and become a builder. And so he met my grandmother there about a year before they got married and then moved to Mill Valley.
And he built the house before he moved into it?
Yes.
That's talent, wasn't it?
Yes, yes.
Did he build it himself? He had people helping him?
He had people who helped him. I don't think he got out too much with his carpenter's apron, that type of thing, but he had it built.
And he was the designer?
Yes.
And you're a designer?
Yes.
And your life was such that when you were raised in Mill Valley, you had thoughts about what you wanted to do when you grew up.
Yes.
And what were those thoughts
as
a child?
Well, all over the place. My two older brothers became structural engineers, and I wanted to be like them. So I wanted to be an engineer till I was about in high school. And then I was going to the community church, and I met the minister there, Gordon Foster, and I was very, very inspired by him. He's one of the most loving persons I've ever met. And I wanted to be like him, and so I wanted to be a minister for about 8 years, I thought, to be a minister. And I wanted to go to the Pacific School of Religion and study religion and become a minister, a congregational minister. So, I can continue.
Yes, please do.
For 8 years, I was going to do that, and then about 1951, I met Alan Watts, and I got introduced to Zen Buddhism, and I used to go to Alan's lectures, and that really put a monkey wrench into my plans, because between Christianity and Buddhism, Christianity is a dualistic religion. God and man are separate, and in Buddhism, man and God are together. So this put me into a philosophical bind between Buddhism and Christianity, and ended the prospect of becoming a minister. I just couldn't proceed from that point. So after that, I just decided I would become a social worker. So I got a job later on. It's Hillcrest Juvenile Hall, where I was a deputy probation officer and worked with children there and so forth. And so I did that for 3 or 4 years, but I didn't really like it. So, and at the same time, I was thinking of becoming a pianist, and I was studying the piano 3 to 5 hours a day, plus working about 8 to 12 to 16 hours a day, plus going to school full time. Back then, I used to drink about 25 cups of coffee a day, and I was wondering why I would start vibrating. And I studied piano with Vladimir Brenner, a very, very famous pianist who studied with Toscanini and the NBC Symphony Orchestra. And he was teaching at San Francisco State, and hired him as my teacher. We had 2 lessons a week, mm-hmm. 2 30-minute lessons a week, and I did very well with him. And I had 2 recitals of his students in the little theater at San Francisco State, which was quite something. I did that 2 times. But then I realized that, you know, I didn't really start studying piano until I was way, way too old, until I was 17. You need to be about 5 or 6. I really never could do that unless I had a second career to support myself to do that. And so with the influence of Alan Watts and seeing all the Japanese samurai movies and things like that, I decided to go to Japan and study carpentry. And so I, through a series of introductions, I found 2 architects who had studied with Frank Lloyd Wright, who in turn introduced me to this man in Kyoto and Tomitaro Nishikawa. And so they wrote letters of introduction, and I went there and I studied and apprenticed carpentry for 2 years. So that really is the beginning of my career as an architect, builder, and so forth. So,
and the so forth is what's beyond the, I mean, yeah. When you look at your home, and I watched you over the years, especially what building the bridge every weekend, mm-hmm. when I'd come up West Blythedale, and it was meticulous, and it was done with such specifics and such dedication. I was very impressed. Now, your home here, did you designed and built this home?
Yes. Yes, I designed it, and I did more than 90% of the work myself, including wiring, plumbing, windows, glass, tile, and so forth, and so forth. But I would like to just go back and make a comment. When I was in Japan, I wasn't really thinking of designing Japanese-style buildings, but I wanted to have the technique and ability to be able to do anything in terms of carpentry or design and be able to build it myself. And while I was in Japan, if any of you have been to Japan and have gone to the temples and gardens there, when you would go to such a place, these places, there's 1,200 temples in Kyoto, that I've probably been more to temples than just about anybody, but they made you feel wonderful. There's something about being in one of those temple gardens, and how does this make me feel so good? And what about the design and how does it do that? And so I would make practice designs while I was in Japan. I would try this form and that form. I'd take the torii gate and I designed a house using that form, or the Issei shrine. I used that form just as a form to make designs after in Katsura Rikyu. And so I made all of these designs and models and things. So that sort of is the beginning of my real career in designing. And so when I came back here, I wanted to be able to do things that would make you feel that way. When you know, designs, it doesn't have to be Japanese, but the space, even the gardens, you know, where hedges or flowers or trees would be planted, create the space. And that space sort of moves. It never allows you to see anything at one time. You have to move to find your way. It's sort of a movement through the design. And then to design a house or here or anywhere, you want to think about how the person is brought into the house and how he moves and how the feeling from one space to another allows you to feel good. In other words, these spaces, I have this philosophy about, you know, when you're looking about, it's like doing zazen, a meditation sitting. When you're looking through your eyes are like a window of awareness, and the eyelids are like a frame, and then outside of that, there's another frame, and going inward, there's another frame of the mind and so forth, of this awareness system that we have. And so when coming into an architectural environment, I wanted to create these frames of space. So even though a person wasn't aware of what was happening to them, the space would have lead them to have this experience of this inward, utmost inward feeling of awareness to through and to the outside world.
It's wonderful. I mean, you can feel it here in this home. If you don't mind, we'll go back a little bit to your childhood in Mill Valley.
All right.
You went to schools, all the schools in Mill Valley, all the public schools?
Yes, I went to Summit School for 6 months before they closed it down. And then I went to Old Mill School for 6 years. And then to Park School for 2 years. They had the seventh and eighth grades there.
Oh.
It was like a middle school.
Sure.
And then on to Tam High School for 4 years. And then I went to the College of Marin for 2 years. And then after that, I went to San Francisco State for 4 years and graduated with a bachelor in philosophy.
Right.
And
right.
A minor in music.
Oh, wonderful.
No training in architecture.
And do you remember some of the stores and buildings that were downtown as a child when you would go through there and play with your friends?
Oh, yes. I remember where, what's it called now? Espossi's used to be on Throckmorton. It used to be an ice cream parlor. And it's now that Italian restaurant.
La Ginestra?
La Ginestra. And I remember my brother taking me there and going in. And they had, in the window, you could look in the window, and they had a great big ice cream machine. And you could see them making it. And you'd go in, and he bought me. He was 9 years older than me, so he would take me in and treat me to an ice cream cone. And I remember, and I went out, and the ice cream fell out of the cone. And I remember crying, and he bought me another one. And on the corner where La Copa is, used to be a department store. A three-story department store. And it go down in the basement was certain wares, and the main floor was where the coffee shop is, and then upstairs were, what do you call it, the Clear Vision or Clear, what is it called?
Clear Story or?
Clear something.
Clearance?
It's a kind of a doctor's place. Anyway.
Oh, the spa?
Yeah, upstairs, yeah. Mm-hmm. That was a department store. And then going down the other street, there was a soda place, Baltimore's Soda. And I remember some of a mother of one of my friends took the other kid and I in there, and we had a milkshake drinking contest and stuff like that.
How many did you drink?
I remember they were pretty big. And there weren't any trees in Linton Square. They hadn't planted any. Mm-hmm. And they had taken the trains out, stall stop in 1929? I forgot when they took out the... No, later then. The trains were running to go to Sausalito from Mill Valley, and I remember taking a ferry ride, you know, taking the train from the book depot to Sausalito, getting on a ferry boat and going across. And I think I was about 5 years old, and I remember that day. It was very rough, and the tables had these little cutouts. And my parents bought me a glass of milk, and it was in one of those cutouts, so it wouldn't slide off the table. But the boat tipped, and I remember the milk spilt, and I cried again.
Oh. That's very, very interesting. What are some of your first memories of Mill Valley as a child?
Oh. Well, I used to... Well, when I was very young, I started building model airplanes and things like that. Those kind of memories of doing that. And I'd build these little model airplanes that were bigger than me. And
did you have your help from your dad doing those things?
Well, yeah, he did. He got me a piece of Sellotex and some wax paper and some pins and razor blades and things. And I'd cut and make all of these things.
The beginning of your architectural and building career. Did you hike on the mountain at all?
Oh, in the high school, yeah. We used to, a friend of mine, we'd hike up, and we didn't know how to get up there. We just started walking, and we just kind of went straight up. Didn't know where the trails were back then. Yeah, we did a lot of those things and went...
Bushwhacking?
Yeah, bushwhacking, and went over to Alpine Lake and just all over the place. Yeah,
that's a ways away. Now, how did you meet your wife?
Well, she's Japanese, and in Kyoto there was a hotel, and they were remodeling the hotel. And one day it said open house day. The new wing is open. So I went in to explore, and I was up on the fifth floor, and my wife was working as a floor clerk. And so I asked her in my terrible Japanese if I could look at some of the rooms. So she showed me a few rooms and things like that. And it was interesting that there was a Rotary convention staying there that day from Mill Valley. I bumped into somebody from Mill Valley right there, and she's at her desk. And I remember looking at her and talking to him, and she'd kind of look at me and blush, and you know, and so. That's how the first time I met her, at least the first time I thought. And so, about a couple of weeks later, I was in the area. And so I came by again and to see if I could see her, and I couldn't find her. So I forgot all about it. And about 6 weeks later, from the first time I met her, I'm walking up the main street. And I see these two ladies coming down, and so I'm looking at her, and she kept looking at me. I kept looking at her, and that's very unusual for a Japanese woman to look at you. They usually put their head down or put their hand over their mouth or something like that. She kept looking at me, and as we passed, she kind of blinked, you know, and I said, oh, that's the lady that was working at the Kyoto Hotel. So I'm walking in the direction. I'm only about 10 or 15 minutes away from the Kyoto Hotel, and I'm thinking, well, when I first came to Japan, there was this young man who helped me get established. He took me to the Utano Youth Hostel where I stayed. Anyway, he had gotten a job at the Kyoto Hotel at the front desk, and so I'm walking up there, and I said, well, I'll go see him. So he was there, and I said, there's somebody I'd like you to find out who she is. And she was wearing, Shoko was wearing a lapel number. And I swear that I never at any time tried to memorize that number, but I pretty well have,
photographic memory.
Photographic memory. And as I was walking up to the hotel, what was that number? And I'm looking, and I'm looking at her blouse and everything. And I remembered the number. This is 6 weeks after the fact. So I asked my friend at the front desk, who's 536? And so he found out, and he called her up, and this and that, and back and forth. And Shoko said, oh, I got this American, he wants to meet me. He wants to take me out to dinner. And she asked some of her friends, and she said, well, why don't you do it? Americans usually, very respectable on the first date anyway. So anyway, we set up a date, and my friend from the front desk came with me, and he ate a lot. I didn't hardly eat anything, nor did Choco. So that was our first date, and then we had another date. I think we took a train and ride over to Lake Otsu and mm-hmm. back. And so, but to finish the story, which is we actually had been introduced months before that incident on Christmas Eve, 1960. And I went into this coffee shop, which is called The Muse, and met an American fellow that I knew. We were going to go to some kind of a party or something. And he was sitting at this table with his two young ladies, and he introduced me. It was rather dark in there, but when I met Shoko at a later time, the girlfriend remembered me from that time.
Oh,
so we actually had met and had been introduced.
Already, yeah.
And so anyway, I was just, and anyway, the Muse, goddess of inspiration, is the name that we've given to the tea house.
What is that?
The Muse.
The Muse, yes. I've watched you build that as I've mm-hmm. hiked up the railroad, mm-hmm. Gray. And you're so consistent, persistent, goes on. I mean, your way of working is beautiful. It's very nicely done. Let me ask you a couple of other questions. How your family holidays were probably spent at your dad's house?
Yes.
In the big room?
That's right. Yes.
Okay. And what else do you remember about early days of Mill Valley? What was the most fun thing you'd do in Mill Valley growing up here? Besides eating ice cream.
Ice cream. What age are you thinking about?
Well, I'm thinking of maybe your teens.
Okay. Well, in the teens, when I was going to the high school and involved with the community church, and Gordon Foster came in, I guess about 1948, and he'd have get some of the kids together and meet in his office every Thursday afternoon. There'd be about six or seven kids, and we'd go there every week, and we'd discuss and had more and more fun. So those were the very, very inspirational times. And then at the church, they'd have he would lead folk dancing and discussions and games, you know, the kind of, you know, you'd tell the person next to you something and they whisper to the next. Oh, we used to do all these.
Telephone,
we just used to laugh our heads off. We had that was just so much fun, just doing all of those games and stuff like that.
He sounds like a wonderful man.
Oh, he was. And years later, after I came back out of the Army, I helped him to direct the junior high group, and I did the same thing as he used to do. So
that's awful
I was
nice.
Sort of imitating him.
You spent time with your grandfather?
I was quite young. As a child, I remember he'd be sitting in the chair, his rocking chair, and his gray hair, and he would let me comb his hair. How old I was, about 5 years old or something, and I would comb his hair, and he'd give me a nickel or something like that. But, no, I don't, other than just holidays and Christmas and Thanksgiving and things like that. I didn't do too much. Well, at his house, I used to go up there and take some of my friends, and he'd be around. He had a billiard room and a big pool table, and he built the whole room of his house just for the pool table. It had all those things with the beads on it, and so he, I guess he taught me how to play pool. Now, that I hadn't even thought of that.
Are you a pretty good player?
I'm pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And he played very well, I'm assuming.
He must have, yeah.
The choice of this piece of land, is it because you love Mill Valley so much that you came down and found this place and have made it a sanctuary for you and your wife?
Yes. What's your question?
How did you find this parcel?
Oh, well, I was doing some work for some people up on Ralston Avenue, and we were remodeling their house, and then also they wanted to expand their parking garage, put a little storage unit on the back, so I was doing that work, and they had this property here that they had bought for horses, but they discovered that this property is absolutely unsuitable for horses. But anyway, I was so interested in the property, so they let me build this addition on their garage as sort of a down payment. So I worked and made that as a down payment on this property, and that's how it all happened.
Wonderful.
And they were so nice to me. They let me pay it off over a period of 10 years with no interest.
Isn't that wonderful?
And that was just wonderful. So that we were able to do it, because we've never, ever had any money. We've always been hand to mouth, so to speak.
Have you designed other homes in Mill Valley?
Yes. For Sam and Janet Dijogo up on McGee Street, I think that it's been remodeled a bunch of times, just before you get back to Summit. And the Strombergs' house on Throckmorton Lane, did that in 1960, I think. And that's really quite a nice house. It's still there. They've done different things to it. And what other whole houses besides this one? A new house in Tiburon. Mm-hmm. And that's just was finished about 2 years ago. And I should look at my own sheet. I can't even remember.
Yeah.
I had some friends who flew me out to New Hampshire about 2 years ago, and I designed them a house there. And mostly I've been doing remodeling or almost rebuilding a house, almost tearing it down, starting it over and getting back, or large portions of the house. So
oh, no,
I don't know how many houses I've remodeled. I guess
so. This runs in your family. And
yes.
Did you know all the Kleisses that were in Mill Valley?
Well, there were my grandparents. My father had a brother, and he lived down in Palo Alto. So I've met him and his wife many, many times. And he had a sister. My father was the oldest, and Herbert. Marion was the next one, and my father designed and built her house in Sausalito, and later years she came and took care of my grandmother. And then the youngest sister was Carolyn. My father built her a very nice house on 200 Molino. It's one of the nice houses.
I remember that house.
Yeah, really a very nice house.
Mm-hmm. On the downslope?
Upslope. You're making you've passed the steep street, Wildomar, and you're coming up and making it right at a bend there before you get to Birch.
Okay.
It's right opposite Hooters Lane.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. I think that was
That's
sold
a
just
really
a couple of years
nice
ago,
house. Mm-hmm.
Actually.
Yes.
So if you had to live your life over, would this be the most special place in the world to live?
This house, this place,
or this Mill place Valley? And Mill Valley, both.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we're just so fortunate when you think of the world and the turmoil and so forth. I'd like to be here, or I'd like to be in Japan. The people in Japan are so wonderful. They don't allow any guns or anything like that. and the people are so wonderful, except that, you know, the space in Japan is very tight.
Yes.
People live in very tiny houses, and because we were just there for our 50th wedding anniversary about a month ago, so yeah, Japan is wonderful.
Yeah.
So either here in Japan, but my wife likes Italy too. I wouldn't mind Italy either, or south of France.
Yeah.
But Mill Valley probably is just the best, nicest place because here we have nature and hiking, and San Francisco with the symphony halls and different museums, you know, Zhiyong and
couldn't be
MoMA.
Better.
Couldn't be better. And restaurants going north to St. Helena and things like that.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
For your amazing information.
Oh, thank you.
And it was an amazing, wonderful time in Mill Valley. And your generosity of your time.
Oh, you're so welcome.
We may have some more questions for you down the line, and we'll just give you a call.
Yes.
Ask you some questions, and you can get that other piece of paper back to me when I took my scribbly notes
the other day. Oh, okay, sure. Be happy to.
If there's any things on that. And we'll try and locate some more history, and when we do, we'll let you know what we receive.
Well, I hope I was able to give you some answers.
Oh, it's wonderful. Joy, which is emitted not only from you, but it's throughout this whole home. Mm. It's a special, special place, and you've done a wonderful job in your life and in your building.
Thank you very much.
Anything you...
Yeah, I'd like to tell you a little bit about my family, about my wife, Shoko, and our three children, and... my wife is such an incredible, giving person. She's just absolutely amazing and beautiful, thoughtful, and she just, you know, she's has 2,000 years of Japanese culture invested in her genes and so forth. And we've had three children. The oldest is Ren, and he does movies and sound design, and he's been nominated for 4 Oscars. And then my daughter, she's next, she works for him, she's his manager. And our younger son, Ty, is used to also work for Ren, and now he's working for one of the other persons who used to work for Ren, and Pix company. So they're all doing really very well, and my older son's wife, Rachel, she's very, very lovely. She's an actress, or actor as they call them these days, and she's done a lot of Tennessee Williams and things like other great plays. And then Misa, she has a great, wonderful husband. He was an artist, but became a carpenter. And they have 2 wonderful kids, 9, probably 7 and 11, and they're doing really well. And my youngest son has a great girlfriend, and while we were in Japan celebrating our 50th wedding anniversary just a little over a month ago, at one of the family meetings, we were all there, got down on his hands and knees and proposed marriage to his girlfriend, Vessie, in front of all the family members, and made everybody just cry. So they're doing all very well. And so we're just blessed with just a wonderful family. We get together about at least once a week. Everybody lives in Mill Valley, which is just incredible.
Yes.
And so it's just wonderful.
Well, good for you getting together. That's so important.
Yeah.
What a lucky, lucky family you have. Thank you for sharing all of this.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it.